Hi everyone, so my name is Katie, and as was mentioned, I recently graduated from the Drexel School of Public Health, and the project that I'll be presenting is the research that I conducted for my master's thesis. So I'm really honored to be here today, and thank you for coming. I just wanted to acknowledge St. Christopher's Hospital for Children in Philadelphia, where the project took place, and the logo in the upper right-hand corner of your screen is the Maternal and Child Health Working Group that's sponsored by the Drexel School of Public Health. And two of the authors on this project, Dr. Maggie O'Neill, who's in the audience today, and Dr. Renee Turchi, are members of this group. And we received a mini grant from the Philadelphia Department of Public Health. So I don't have any conflicts of interest. And before I get into the details of the project, I just wanted to give a brief background on children with special health care needs. So children with special needs are defined as those who have or are at an increased risk for chronic physical, developmental, behavioral, or emotional conditions, and who also require health and related services of a type or amount beyond that of children generally. So in the United States, approximately 14% of children have a special health care need. Children with special needs span all races, ethnicities, ages, and socioeconomic statuses. However, special needs are slightly more common in boys than they are in girls. So, the literature is limited in detailing the prevalence of physical activity levels and eating habits in children with special needs. However, from some published research, we know that children with special needs have lower levels of physical activity and altered eating habits compared to their typically developing peers. Children with special needs are at an increased risk for overweight and obesity compared to their peers. And parents seek community resources for support for active recreation and healthy eating for their children. So the specific aims for the project that I'll be going over are to describe physical activity levels and eating habits in children with special health care needs, to describe the prevalence of overweight and obesity in children with special needs, and then to examine factors not only with the individual child and their family, but also in the community that might be associated with physical activity and healthy eating. And lastly, to identify from families what community resources they have that they use for their children to promote health behaviors and what in their community is lacking. And additionally, it's the intention that these resources will be added to what we're calling an electronic community resource database. I'll just briefly go over this. So what is the ECRD? It's a database of local resources that are specific to the Philadelphia area and identifiable by zip code. It's one location for PCPs or parents to search for health information or resources to promote health behaviors for their children. And it would be searchable by category. So for example, there would be a category for physical activity, nutrition, advocacy, or resources that are specific and friendly to the children with special health care needs. So this is currently under development and eventually will be piloted at St. Christopher's Hospital for Children. So in planning this project, we looked at the ecological model. And as I'm sure many of you know, it looks at individual health behaviors. So an example would be parent and child knowledge and attitudes of physical activity and nutrition, interpersonal behaviors, so how parents might exchange information between their social groups. At the organizational level, a question might be, are there PE classes that are adaptive to children with special needs? At the community level, how crime and poverty might impact physical activity and nutrition. And lastly, at the public policy level, an example might be how zoning codes for supermarkets influence access to healthy food, or how laws or policies requiring universal access might facilitate physical activity for children with special needs. So for our methods, recruitment and enrollment was done by Dr. Renee Turchi, who is the medical director at the Center for Children with Special Needs at St. Chris, and Monica Conrad, the nurse manager. So they identified children and families that were eligible to participate in the project, and they invited them into the study. So a total of 49 parents and children dyads, they expressed interest in being part of the study, and 23 of these were actually enrolled. So the measures for this project, We conducted individual interview sessions with each of the participants that lasted between an hour and a half to 2 hours. And during the interview session, we took the health status of the child, so we took their height, weight, and calculated their BMI. And then we had a questionnaire for the parent and the child. The questionnaires were very similar, and they informed the child's physical activity and inactivity. We asked about fruit and vegetable consumption, mealtime habits, and community facilitators and barriers to their children with special needs. And we also asked the parent for some basic medical information of their child. And I just want to mention that all the data that I'll be sharing today is from the parent questionnaire. For data analysis, we mainly relied on descriptive statistics, and then we also looked into some measures of association using crosstabs and Fisher's exact tabs. So who were the children in this study? There was 23 children, as I mentioned. They ranged in ages from 3 to 18 years old, who were all patients at the Center for Children with Special Healthcare Needs at St. Chris. They were ambulatory and medically stable at the time we saw them. We definitely had more boys than girls enrolled in the study. Their average age was about 10 years old, and their race breakdown is listed here for you, and the other category are primarily children who identified as being Hispanic. So the parents reported between 1 and 8 diagnoses or conditions for their child, with an average of about 3.65. The three most prevalent diagnoses were autism, CP, and asthma. And for data analysis purposes, we grouped the children into having either a physical medical diagnosis or a cognitive, behavioral, or emotional diagnosis. And so we used the child's primary diagnosis for the groupings as determined by their PCP. So the parent participants, we had 21 parents enrolled in the study. The reason there's 21 parents and 23 children is that two sets of the children were siblings that belonged to the same parent. It was primarily mothers and grandmothers that came to the interview sessions with their child, and their races primarily reflect that of their children. Sorry about that. Okay, so on to some descriptive results. After calculating each child's BMI, we found that over half of the children were clinically obese at the time of the study. And to the right of the screen, I have the parents' perception of the child's overall health. So as you can see, a majority of the parents agreed that their child was in excellent to good overall health. So this slide might suggest that parents don't perceive obesity and overweight as a health problem for their child. We also looked at physical activity and inactivity. So the physical activity recommendation for children is that they should be physically active for 60 minutes or more on most, if not all, days of the week, and for children with special health care needs to the best of their ability. So parents reported on average that their child was physically active for 4.68 days out of the week, which is certainly approaching the physical activity recommendation. However, the children engaged in screen time on average of about 5 hours per day, which is well beyond the American Academy of Pediatrics recommendation of no more than 2 hours of screen time per day. So we asked about multiple roadblocks to the child's physical activity, and I would like to point out that 73% of parents felt that the community programs in their community had a lack of supervision that was a roadblock to their child's physical activity. And additionally, 55% of parents said that limited finances to pay for adaptive equipment was a roadblock, and 47% of parents felt that there was a lack of school-based PE and activity programs that were appropriate for their child. So moving on to nutrition, the nutrition component of this project was added as a second phase, so 9 of the 23 children answered questions regarding their eating habits. The recommendation from the registered dietitian at St. Chris is that he looks for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables combined, and only 1 of the 9 children met this recommendation. So on average, children were eating about 1.78 servings of fruit per day and less than a serving of vegetables per day. And 72% of responses fell between the children eating between 0 and 1 fruits and vegetables per day. We also looked into some habits and attitudes around mealtime based on the parents' perception. So 33% of parents felt that it was stressful or difficult to feed their child. And additionally, 33% of parents said that they prepared meals differently or in a special way for their child with special needs. Like many children, a lot of parents reported that their child was a picky eater. And many parents, 44%, said that their child was sensitive to food textures. So the last grouping of questions in our interviews were directed at community resources that promote health behaviors. So first we asked the parent, and this was an open-ended question, we asked what resources are available in your community that promote physical activity, and then we asked if that resource they mentioned they viewed as being accessible. So we defined accessibility as being affordable, convenient location, the resource was safe for the child. So parks were the most frequently mentioned available resource, and most parents perceived these parks as being an accessible resource for their child. However, pools and playgrounds were the least available resource, and none of the parents mentioned having an accessible playground for their child with special needs. And for nutrition resources, the most available resource was supermarkets, which was also perceived as being accessible, and the least available was farmers markets. So for measures of association, we looked at two child factors, their weight status. We classified them as being either obese or not obese, and then their diagnostic category that I mentioned earlier. So we looked at these two factors, and we compared them to the items under health behaviors, family mealtime habits, and the environment. And I'll just go through the associations that we found to be statistically significant. So children with cognitive, behavioral, or emotional diagnoses were significantly associated with obesity. 80% of these children were obese compared to 42% of children in the physical and medical diagnostic category. So you might guess physical activity was associated with obesity. So children that met the physical activity recommendations, and we define this as being physically active for more than 4 days out of the week for 60 minutes, were less likely to be obese than children who were physically active for 4 or less days out of the week. Parent income was also associated with obesity. So children who belong to families of higher income were actually more likely to be obese in this study than those who belong to families of lower income. However, when looking into this further, we found that children in the cognitive, behavioral, and emotional diagnostic category, most of these children belonged to families of higher income, and this diagnostic category was associated with obesity. So I think that can explain this finding since it's probably counterintuitive. So we know from the study that the children in the study weren't getting quite enough physical activity, engaged in a large amount of screen time, and were certainly not consuming enough fruits and vegetables. However, parents identified multiple health-promoting community resources in their community, and those resources will be added to the ECRD that I mentioned earlier. The community resources that families felt they needed but do not have should be brought to the attention of PCPs and advocates. And PCPs and parents expressed interest in ECRD as a tool for parents to help find community resources for their children to improve health behaviors, and for PCPs to recommend community resources as an adjunct to their medical recommendations. Some future research would definitely, we'd be interested in exploring the cognitive, behavioral, and emotional diagnostic category and try to understand some factors that influence weight gain in this population of children. We didn't exactly have time to look at medications that were specific to children with special needs and weight gain and side effects from this, but it would definitely be an area of interest. And lastly, some recommendations would be that health guidelines should be inclusive and comprehensive of the needs of all children. So a lot of nutrition and physical activity guidelines just very briefly mention children with special needs, if at all. And citywide health initiatives should include universal access. So I know a lot of the sessions have been talking about the CPPW grant. And it would just be great to see, you know, boundless playgrounds and things of that nature included in these initiatives. So some strength of this study is that it's one of few projects to address health behaviors in a vulnerable population. It's clinic-based to support PCP practice and parents' needs for community resources. And some limitations are recruitment and retention challenges we had with the population. It was a heterogeneous population of children with special needs, which made data analysis difficult. And we relied on self-report measures from parents.